We're trading in sizzling heat for rain and storms, what the severe threat looks like right now and this weekend, and see how Hurricane Lee has changed in just the past few hours.
Plus, a tree falls in a car, sending someone to the hospital. A live look at the damage from the storm.
WRAL's cameras were rolling as investigators searched and took items from two homes in Wake County. What search warrants reveal about the connection these locations have to the death of a woman found in Jordan Lake.
Hundreds of North Carolinians are missing today, an event to bring those families together to help them find their loved ones.
Right now at 7, taking a live look at radar as storms push out of our area. Parts of our area saw some severe weather over the last few hours. They moved quickly, but those storms left a mark. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Take a look at some of the damage. We had trees falling down in several counties, as you can see here, at one point landing on a car. One person was hurt in that situation.
We have live team coverage of this tonight, including a check on power outages. Let's begin with meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, tracking all of this, plus storms and activity in the tropics. Kat.
It's been a busy evening in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. The good news is that the radar is showing big signs of improvements at this hour, and that's great news for high school football tonight. We have a little bit of lightning left in Warren County and Northampton County. Elsewhere, no more lightning left, and the bulk of the rain is close to the North Carolina-Virginia border, moving to the north away from us. We don't have anything else looming to the south that would be headed into our area as of right now, and that's good news. But boy, those storms packed a punch this afternoon. We have reports of wind damage across the viewing area, as well as a couple reports of small hail, and of course that's led to some power outages. So some folks still dealing with some of the impacts of those storms. Here's a plus side to the storms, though. Check out our temperatures. 71 in Rocky Mount, 70 in Goldsboro, 77 in the Triangle. Feeling great after a stretch of triple-digit heat that we've endured this week. We see the heat back off over the weekend, but additional storm chances return, and some of those storms could be strong to severe again tomorrow. Let's update you on Hurricane Lee. It's still a powerful Category 4 hurricane, but it's not as strong as it was last night. That's because it's run into some wind shear today. There's no eye evident at the moment, but top winds 150 miles per hour. So this is definitely still a powerful, dangerous hurricane. Model trends today, no big surprises. I think the biggest trend is it slowed down a little bit, but still the closest model track to North Carolina is still about 400 miles offshore. I'll have a closer look at the steering current with a slower storm coming up.
Okay, Kat, we'll check back in just a bit. Let's go back to talking about that damage, though. WRAL's Carly Haynes just arriving in Benson. That's Johnston County, joining us live. So, Carly, give us a lay of the land there. We got some trees down and power lines.
Yeah, it's a mess out here, Dan. We just spoke to the fire chief here in Benson. He said this storm dissipated as quickly as it formed, but there is still a lot of storm damage left behind. And the big story here is going to be those downed power lines. They're down all over the place. Crews have even called in contractors to get things back online. They'll be working throughout this evening, but they said they've discovered at least 10 poles down around town. There are also a lot of heavy trees down as well. That's another big reason for these road closures, which we've been seeing as we've been driving around. I also want to call your attention to this spot on the side of the road right here. That's where a tree covered up in power lines fell onto a car. There was at least one passenger in that car at the time. We don't know the status of their injuries, but we do know they were transported to Wake Med Trauma. Here in Benson, the storm damage was in a pretty small area. It's along Main Street, but it's a busy road. Fire chief said it's just about four blocks total that got the bulk of this storm. But the fire chief is telling people to avoid the area. As you can see, there are crews there working right now. There will be some road closures, so don't come by. But I know Chris Lovingood is going to be in the live center right now. Chris, what are you seeing?
Well, Carly, I'm looking at about 45 minutes northeast of you in Wilson. Just to show our viewers some of the damage here, this tree that's down clearly on a house there. Look how uprooted it is resting on that house. Let's look at some other images here. Another tree that's down. This is actually in the Wilson and the Lucama area. Some of these images, the first one that you saw there came from Kristen Medlin, and the one you're looking at now is from Margaret Barnes Howard, but it's this one right here. You see how you could kind of barely see outside because of how heavy the rain is? You can clearly see that utility pole, that that is knocked over there. And this is coming from Darlene Rivera, and this is at Slabtown and Morningside Road. So plenty of storm damage elsewhere. But I want to update you on those outages that we heard Kat Campbell talking about. About an hour ago, I told you we were at about maybe 5,100 outages. We're seeing improvement. 3,600 people without power right now, customers specifically. So we have been keeping in touch with Duke Energy. I talked to Jeff Brooks a little bit ago. He says it's not seeing anything too bad. Clearly, they're working on improving it as we have seen the numbers start to drop.
All right. Crews working quickly. Chris, thank you so much. Keep the WRL Severe Weather app handy as we track storms into this weekend. It is free, of course, wherever you get your downloads.
Today, police searched two Wake County homes in connection with the investigation into a woman found dead at Jordan Lake. Investigators searched this home in Apex this morning, a home where 34-year-old Hadil Hikmat lived with her husband, Omar Drabik. Hikmat's body was found in the lake last Tuesday. It was not until this week that she was identified by family across the globe and through fingerprint analysis. Another North Raleigh home belonging to Hikmat's in-laws was also searched today.
You know, Hadil has a big family in Iraq. So many people love her. She was so kind. So anything reaching to justice, we are welcoming.
This is an active homicide investigation. However, no arrests have been made and no suspects have been named.
An Orange County parent and former president of the Northern Orange NAACP is facing child abuse charges. Latondra Strong is charged with felony child abuse after a five-month-old in her care nearly died from alcohol. Strong was arrested Tuesday. Court documents show that on March 18th, Strong made a bottle for a five-month-old baby that contained alcohol. She then left the baby in the care of other adults. The documents show that they did not call 911 when the baby stopped breathing. The NAACP says Strong recently resigned from her position.
As a dog lover, this story really gets me. Hoke County sanitation workers saved this dog left at a curb by the trash. The Hoke County Animal Shelter shared these pictures of Momo. A Facebook post says guys found him while doing their regular trash pickup. They gave Momo ice water and waited with him until animal control could arrive. He spends the weekend at the shelter getting some TLC and then will be ready for adoption next week.
He looks like he's doing much better. A North Carolina soldier has been identified now nearly 80 years after his plane disappeared overseas. Tonight, we're hearing from relatives who say they want to keep his legacy alive. Second Lieutenant Fred Brewer Jr.'s remains were identified last month. He was a Shaw University graduate, one that made a name for himself both during and after his time there. His cousin, Brenda Brewer, says this has been a long time coming, but she's glad the investigators were persistent.
They didn't give up. As the history developed and the science developed, their mission is to keep trying.
She says she's planning to hold a formal funeral service for him in the coming months.
State lawmakers say they plan to vote on a budget next week, but it's still not clear whether it will include a massive expansion of legalized gambling in North Carolina. Legislative leaders want to allow up to 4 casinos and legalize video poker machines statewide, but there may not be enough support for that. Of course, we will continue following this. You can find more about this debate at the NC Capitol section of WRAL.com.
Thousands of people go missing every year in our state here in North Carolina. Many of those folks are reported to local police, but there are many other free resources available for families to help them in their searches. WRAL Shelley Jackson went to a missing persons event today in Durham and spoke to one woman who is searching for her daughter.
The governor has declared today Missing Persons Awareness Day. In North Carolina, this year alone, more than 10,000 people have been reported missing. 700 of those cases are active. And take a look at this wall. There are 578 photos of missing North Carolinians here. This person missing since 1989, this woman since 1991, and this man since 2003. Every photo on this wall represents a family devastated by the disappearance of a loved one.
How old would she be today?
She would be turning 30 November the 4th.
It's been 2 years since Tracy Barbie saw her daughter Jordan at her Concord home.
She was at my house on April the 6th of 2021, which was the week of Easter.
Barbie says she knew something was up when Jordan went quiet online.
She would always contact me or always at least be on social media. That was the really big moment for me.
Tracy Barbie and her family drove 2 hours from Charlotte, hoping their effort would bring Jordan home.
I had to walk in here and see that my child is on that board. Somebody's looking for her. She's there. She's on that board.
Barbie says she did everything on her own when Jordan first disappeared.
I have just felt so let down by our local police departments. We didn't know about an anonymous tip line number. We didn't have a detective's number. We didn't have nothing. We had nothing.
Barbie and her family submitted DNA swabs to NAMIS, the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System.
Any information that they're able to put into these public databases helps resolve cases.
Stay with me.
Jordan loved to sing. And Barbie hopes she will hear her voice again.
I will bring her home, whatever means, whatever that may mean. It may not be exactly how I want it to happen, but I will make it happen one way or the other.
Shelly Jackson, WRAL News, Durham.
Oh, such a difficult situation for so many families. As Hurricane Lee churns in the Atlantic, only one Category 4 storm has ever hit North Carolina. We're looking into hurricane trends and why more powerful storms may be on the horizon. And as we head to break, we leave you with this gorgeous shot of a rainbow over Jordan Lake after the storms cleared tonight. See that boat just motoring on through. We'll have your full forecast for the weekend coming up.
Go in depth. Let's get right into the mailbox tonight. We got a ton of emails this week to dan@wral.com. And just as a reminder, or for people seeing this segment for the first time, it's a bit different than the typical news segments that you'll see. We discuss some pretty difficult topics. It's often controversial, and there are rarely two sides to the stories that we discuss. Sometimes it's more like 10 different sides. Your opinions and feedback are pivotal to how we cover them. So please email me at dan@wral.com. Now, we started the week talking about curfews for kids as Fayetteville considers one to curb youth violence there. Now, we discussed why the police chief there wants one and how countless research projects show that they don't really work. Carolyn said, Dan, it would work better if law enforcement knew the ages of the minors in the homes and go door to door to check randomly to check to see if they are home. And if they aren't, parents need to be accountable. This sounds very effective. But it's also a little terrifying, isn't it? One of the most difficult balancing acts that we have with policing is how to be effective without infringing on our rights. It's a component of the curfew topic that we really didn't discuss on Monday. Check out this headline from PBS. Curfews give sweeping powers to cops. They quoted the ACLU saying, by making presence on public streets anywhere in these cities unlawful, these measures give police too much discretion over whom to arrest. So think of it this way. Technically, if Fayetteville passes its curfew as proposed right now, police could stop anyone after midnight as long as they think that person might be a teenager, which is pretty subjective, don't you think? Especially at night looking into a car, or anyone that looks like a kid skipping school during the day. Meaning if you're a young-looking 20-year-old walking to work, they could stop and question you just because of your baby face. Obviously, those are extreme examples, but possible and something that shouldn't be ignored when discussing the powers that we give to police. We also talked about our aging politicians this week and how we should account for age in leadership after recent polls show that Americans are a little leery of reelecting a president at age 82. We discussed the newest research into how our brains age, some of the misconceptions that people have. You can find those stories on WRAL.com. Just search Dan Haggerty. They'll come up. Now, as you can imagine, this is a bit of a touchy subject, and a viewer named Rebecca took issue with a part of my reporting that, according to overwhelming research and consensus, cognitive decline to some degree is inevitable as we age, especially into your 80s and beyond. She said, we need to address cognitive ability as a standalone issue, period. We also need to address ageism, as she hoped I would make people aware that October 7th is Ageism Awareness Day, and I think that's a pretty good idea. You can find lots of information from the American Society on Aging. Their website has some great resources. This is a very complicated and nuanced topic and discussion, and as always, I recommend that you have a well-balanced opinion. So thank you to Rebecca for that email. Lastly tonight, I want to get your opinion on something I'm considering for next week. Mac Brown versus the NCAA, after he unleashed on the governing body that rules over college football. He chastised the leadership after they denied the transfer of one of his players, accusing them of ignoring the needs of the students and their mental health. First, got to say, I find it a little interesting that he's accusing of the NCAA of putting business first while also profiting heavily from it, being paid $5 million a year to coach a public university. But his words are ringing true for a lot of folks. And while that story is getting front page headlines all over the place, I actually think there's another story that's just as significant, but for some reason was met with more cutesy news coverage. Even People Magazine had some fun with the clickbait, saying Duke's quarterback got denied a homework extension after they upset Clemson. Oh boy, those Duke professors, they don't mess around, do they? But is that the real story? Or how about this one instead? The conference scheduled a Monday night game that started at 8 p.m. and lasted late into the night, followed by media interviews even later into the night, during the school year, with class the next day. And then we're made to believe it was the quarterback who wasn't prioritizing school. How about Clemson? They still had to travel home afterward. Do you remember when college football was only on Saturdays because, you know, those kids are in school? Not anymore. Not this game. It's got to be the lone Monday night feature with the big TV audience and the massive sales dollars, and who can blame them? Isn't that why ESPN paid the ACC $3.6 billion for the rights to show these students, these kids, play football? I'm sure they're looking to make a profit. I would. Monday night's game was a perfect scenario. Fresh-faced QB, underdog win, holiday weekend, prime time, cha-ching. I've started to go down a bit of a rabbit hole on this one, if you haven't been able to tell. I spent an hour roping in the entire sports department. I ranted in their office yesterday. My apologies to them. I trap people. Let me know your thoughts on this. I really want to know. Email me, dan@wral.com. Lots to talk about next week and every week. So tell me what's on your mind, and we'll go in depth.
Oh, people are so fired up about what happened to Tez Walker. All right, Dan. Hey, Hurricane Lee set a record as the fastest system to intensify from a tropical storm to a Category 5 hurricane in Atlantic hurricane season history. It's since downgraded to a Cat 4, but climate scientists say Lee could be a precursor of storms to come. Record hot ocean temperatures are fueling this, raising threats to Carolina's coast. Hurricane Lee is currently swirling over ocean waters, surpassing 86 degrees. Rapidly intensifying storms can be more catastrophic because they can be hard to forecast, giving less time for preparation and evacuation. The number of hurricanes in the Atlantic with sustained winds higher than 111 miles per hour has doubled since 1980. Sure is scary stuff, but what is good news is that this hurricane, this beast, is not expected to hit our coast, as you have been telling us, Kat.
And, you know, the model plots continue to show that it will stay well offshore, average of about 500 miles off our coast. However, we will keep an eye on it until it makes that turn to the north, and that's when we can finally breathe a sigh of relief. Outside tonight, I just want to update you for anybody headed out to college football or looking for an update to that forecast. We've got a little rain left in Warren County, Halifax, and Northampton County. Elsewhere, things are pretty quiet on the radar for us. Big improvements. And maybe you're headed out to Hopscotch tonight. Always fun out there. 9 o'clock, temperature should be around 80 and only a 20% chance of a lingering shower. By that time tomorrow night, 77, a little cooler, and about a 30% chance of a lingering storm. Hour by hour, here's the latest thoughts on storm chances tomorrow. Through 11 a.m., the chance is pretty low. As we get toward 1, 2 o'clock, we've got about a 40% chance. So that's when those scattered storms really begin to fire up. 30% at noon, and then into the early evening, late afternoon hours, that's when we peak at 60%. It's all thanks to this cold front that's now a stationary front. It stalled out over North Carolina as expected, and we are going to see this as the zone for storms to redevelop again tomorrow and perhaps some on Sunday as well, though not as many. Let's take a look here at Hurricane Lee. No more eye visible on satellite imagery. This is why it weakened a little bit, and the word weakened, use it with caution because, I mean, This is a very powerful, very dangerous Category 4 hurricane with top winds of 150 miles per hour. So this was not significant weakening. It's just no longer a Category 5, and you can't see the eye. It ran into some wind shear today, still in a pretty favorable environment. So it's expected to maintain its Cat 4 intensity. It could waver a bit in the coming days, but at the end of our forecast cone, you can kind of start to see that little jog to the north here for the 2 p.m. Wednesday timestamp. Still a major hurricane at that time, possibly with top winds at 125. That would mean it's a Cat 3 hurricane. That's one to watch. The steering currents still show the trough coming in, pushing it out to sea and away from North Carolina. But Atlantic Canada should pay close attention to this storm, so we'll be watching it closely for you. Storm chances over the weekend, drier early next week in that trough. Could bring some really nice weather by the end of next week. Fingers crossed, we'll keep an eye on it too.
That does look beautiful. Thanks, Kat.
A local tennis coach from Nigeria gains national attention for expanding the game. Coming up, how he's opening doors to help more young people learn to play. Next.
A local tennis coach, originally from Nigeria, is helping more young people learn the game.
Moses Igbinovia, best known as Coach Moses, also trains his daughters in the sport. He hopes to help more families overcome the steep costs of competing in tennis. Coach Moses was chosen to appear in a series of ads promoting the U.S. Tennis Association. Kim Roberts with the Raleigh Tennis Association says the coach is a gift to the game.
His energy is infectious, his laugh. He's so genuine, and people are drawn to that. And we're so thankful to have Coach Moses teaching tennis, because he's just bringing in the folks to the tennis courts to give it a try.
How exciting. Coach Moses was first inspired to play himself after meeting the legendary Arthur Ashe in 1977. The North Carolina Courage has a chance to win back-to-back championships tomorrow at the NWSL Championship Cup Final.
The Courage hosts Racing Louisville FC at 12:30 at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. The winning club will split a $1 million prize. The Courage advanced to the final after a dramatic 1-0 win in the semifinals against the Kansas City Current. No club has ever won two consecutive Challenge Cups. Tickets are still available on the team's website. Good luck to them.
Yeah, that'd be a nice accomplishment.
There's
only been four Challenge Cups, so they would have two of the four.
That's awesome.
Not bad. Thanks for being with us here on WRAL News tonight.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night and a wonderful weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.